This is a Pinball News production.
My name is Rob Craig, and I wonder if I could ask you guys to show me if any of you guys listen to the Silverball podcast. Could you raise your hand? Oh, wow. Good number. Thank you. So I do a podcast, and over on my right-hand side is Steve Rockchild, who is sitting here videotaping this event. And I asked him to speak, and he wouldn't do it. So maybe I could get him on wireless so I can walk over. You got anything to say, Steve?
Continue with your show, Rob.
Okay, that's well said. We're glad to be back doing the Silverball podcast, by the way. We love it. It's just very time-consuming, and you're going to find out a little bit why I have really slowed down with some of the projects like repair DVDs, Life After Death. Anybody have Life After Death DVDs? Awesome. Cool. Darren Sheldon, would you grab a box of Life After Death 3 DVDs? And if you didn't raise your hand because you don't have any Life After Death DVDs, in other words, if you don't have any, raise your hand now and Darren will give you it. Darren will give you a Life After Death 3 DVD. And because time is short, I'm going to just keep rolling, but Darren will be glad to hand those out to you, okay? And it looks like there were more hands than a minute ago, so he's got 30 in that box. That's Warehouse Raid, yeah. It's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of featurettes and stuff on there. I could talk about Warehouse Raid. We just found some interesting news about the operator that found out that we have put that on the DVD. But I won't go there. Okay, so we're going to talk about today pinball and higher education, and you'll find out why in a minute. Besides the podcast and besides the Life After Death 3 stuff, and besides, what else, writing for Gamer Magazine, as Rob had mentioned so kindly, I also try to promote pinball locally, and Steve has been a part of that. If you look over here on the slide, it says nothing about pinball. It's about my career. 9 years at UPS, that's the Brown Package Company, and I was doing IT work for them, information technology, computer nerd type stuff. 4 years in IT so far at Southern Illinois University, so I found a way out of UPS and ended up at SIU, which is just a dream job. It's been great over there. So I have a theory. I have a lot of theories, and if you listen, it sounds like most people understand that I have these my own ideas and theories about the way things are working, you know, sort of among the hobbyists and enthusiasts and the hardcore collectors and the buyers and the future and so on. Well, here's one of them. It's at least what I see in my neck of the woods, a 30-40-30 problem, and you can read that. You probably already have. 30% of the machines that I want to play, or I want to take somebody to go play, or I hope that somebody happens to stumble upon, are not unplayable. A ball won't kick out into the shooter lane for a number of reasons. And this is what I'm seeing typically. It's what I've seen for years. And so maybe it goes up and down a smidge, but not very often. 40% are not attractive and have significant issues on location. And that, what I mean by that is that they're no longer really good for promoting pinball, because somebody who might happen, a non-pinball player, who might happen to stumble across this game and puts money in the game ends up not having a very good time. And then, you know, maybe it's been a year since they've given pinball a chance. They're at a pizza joint. They're waiting on a pizza. I'll try this Family Guy. And they're not enjoying it. You know, it's not set up properly. Left flipper is weak, or it's chattering, or whatever, and they just walk away. And then 30%, the three out of 10 that are really fun, you know, finding those machines sometimes is a chore in my area. So maybe hopefully you're all having a much better experience than me. So I'll come back to this 30-40-30 thing, which is also why I've been sharing pinball in the home, because I know which machines work, and if there's something wrong, I can key in, and I can pull the glass and do whatever. So there's just a little snapshot of some people that I've been happy to entertain in my home many years ago. And that sort of is around the time that I ran into Steve and started trying to bring people from where I worked into my home to play. So, you know, I think it's a natural progression whenever you own games after a while. If you're building a game room you're proud of, it's kind of fun sitting in it by yourself, but just for a little while, and then you want to, like, to bring people over. And it's kind of like whenever you get a hot rod, if you've ever had a hot rod, and you like to race cars or ride cars fast, you, you want to have somebody join you that likes to go fast. And so I would like to bring people to my house. And I've had family and friends come by and neighbors, of course, when I moved and they found out I had a pretty big arcade in my basement, they wanted to sneak over. Hey, how's things going? Do you need anything? Can I help you fill that hole in the yard? What are you doing with your games in the basement? And that happens, and it's fun, man. It really is fun. The youth group at church just goes bonkers because I have two video games and 50 pinball machines. So it's like, well, for you guys that don't like pinball, we have a video game, and then they'll all stand around that for a while, and then they'll start coming over and play pinball. It's almost like a psychological thing, like I'm doing it on purpose. It's fun. And then some of their friends, so friends of friends, wind up coming over. I always worry about somebody stealing my stuff, so I check out the friends of the friends and say, hey, is this person going to rob me later, try to pull these 350-pound machines out? So I really had to think about what was I trying to accomplish the whole time. I mean, this is the academic side in me now, because at this university, it's been challenging me to think like this. What is it that I'm trying to accomplish by sharing my pinball collection, by chatting with people about pinball? And it is to develop an appreciation of pinball as a form of entertainment, basically for people to take it serious again, because so many people have just forgotten about it. Not us, obviously. I'm talking about the rest of the people, right? To develop an appreciation of pinball as art. I'm not an artist. I don't pretend to be one at all, but I can cut and paste like nobody. I can jam on that. And I can do Photoshop as long as I don't have to do any photo work. I can just paste stuff in there. But I love pinball art. I absolutely adore it. Like the Wolnelli thing isn't just fantastic. I spent a lot of money last night to prove it. Encourage competitive play. I love to compete. I'm not a Derek Fugate player. Derek Fugate's really good. I'm not at that level. I just want to beat Steve and anybody else in my basement. And I encourage competitive play. And I even let people win sometimes, but I hate to. Encourage pinball ownership. I really do. That's really the next level. Because if you can find somebody, I think, that's jazzed up about pinball enough that they want to own one. And I'm not talking about somebody that Gary Stern talks about, where they put their coat on it and forget about it after a week. I'm talking about somebody that's really connecting to pinball. I'll do anything to help them do that. And find people to help me move games, of course, because they're heavy. Well, I'm going to start going really quick here because I have four videos I want to show you. And people that know me at where I work at SIU know that I could get going really fast. So just ask questions later if I blow through something and you think it's interesting. We started an organization called SIPA, Southern Illinois Pinball Players Association, because we wanted to connect with other people in our region, Southern Illinois. We're 6 hours south. It's God's country in Illinois. Some of you from not Illinois think it's cold and flat, but it's really nice down there, so you should come check it out. We had about four key people, and those four key people would meet, and we would go to public locations, and after we got sick and tired of broken games, we said, oh, well, I guess we'll let you guys in our homes. And so we started going to each other's homes, and we really do want to support public locations. So if they have a game that works, the operator will certainly get our money if we can find that place, seriously. And I encourage also the people that I deal with, just know this, all the time, to play games in public locations and tell the establishment owners, fix your game, please, because I want to play it. Or could you get a Tron in here or Spider-Man or whatever? Just start banging on the doors, you know. And eventually the operators will either pull their stuff out or they'll fix it or they'll get something new. So what we did was we ultimately kicked off the Super Show. That was really cool. Has anybody gone to the Super Show? Southern Illinois? Yeah. Wolfie, I see you. Yeah. Hey, Alan. And, of course, Mark Zarno. That place, that became a very neat community. Just like how we have a reunion here. I have a reunion here every year. And down there, it was like I worked really, really hard, and I still had a reunion there, too. Tried to. It was a lot of fun. And so I'm a nut about demographics, and I want to know who's coming to the show. And it looks like ages 30 and up, primarily male, and their kids, and some of their spouses. And who wasn't coming was this group that really is identified as Generation Y, young people ages 16 to 25. And that's really unfortunate. And I think that may be something that you see at other places. I mean, maybe we see it here. They're busy. They got other things going on. They have concerns about, these are college-age students. I mean, 16 and 17 and 18 may be still in high school. But here's part of the deal. How do you show that pinball is cool? Where are they going to find pinball? The 30-40-30 problem exists in a lot of places, and sometimes it's even worse. Maybe there's no pinball at all in the community. So we got people's homes, but what if there's no collectors in that area? None. So they're left with virtually playing pinball, which is actually pretty cool. And 2 years ago, I spoke about that, and Maybe some of you are here to hear that. I'm a diehard play it for real kind of guy, and nobody can doubt that at all. But guess what? We can't design pinball machines at SIU really, so we have to do it virtually and try to connect on that level. So which is more likely? Especially with these kids, the 30-40-30 problem is probably going to be virtual pinball. Check out those pictures of Steve when he was young. I found those on the web yesterday. They're pretty cool. Nostalgia is something I want to define now because it's part of the problem. And I don't want to sound too academic, but nostalgia to us, everybody understand what nostalgia means? It's right there. A sentimental longing for the past, typically for a period or place with happy personal associations. So like my dad has these really nostalgic moments all of a sudden. And they relate to places that are no longer existing in our community. So he has to see a picture. And somebody will show him a picture. And he'll just have a real cool moment of reflection. And I know that because I will step up to a game that I haven't played in 30 years or 25 years. And I'll play it. And I've not played it maybe ever, even since I've been a collector. And I just want everybody to leave me alone for a while. You ever have that moment of just kind of going back in time? And I really like that. And Steve and I do that on the Silverball podcast. We're always going back in time. I remember when it was whatever year. So nostalgia is very powerful. I've actually done some academic research on that, and I will not bore you with that. But it is very, very neat. Now, the problem with being nostalgic is that somebody has to have an experience consistently through their childhood or some part of their life in order for it to even count as nostalgic later. Is that too hard to understand? So in other words, if you're only exposed to pinball one time at the Heartland Super Show a year, and you're 12, and then 13, and then 14, and then we don't do the show for 5 years, or you understand what I mean? Or you go over to your neighbor's house, the kids do once in a while, to play pinball, maybe once a year. Or you have a family member that lives in another state, and they have a pinball machine, and the kids see them once a year. It's probably not going to have this massive impact on their life, so that whenever they're out of high school, and they get a little bit of money, they're probably not going to care. Their big nostalgic moment might be playing Space Cadet, the Windows pinball game. Ugh, that was on everything forever. So what will be nostalgic for Gen Y-er, the current kids, 18 to 25, when they grow up? Does anybody have an idea? Yeah. Yeah. There's World of Warcraft, iPhones, Call of Duty, what else? Anybody? Those are great answers because I'm thinking the exact same thing. So you kind of get the point, right? It's going to be tech, future tech, that we see as very common and relevant now. It may not be later. Well, check this out. This is Megan. She's pretty cute. I went to SIU, and I just had a few months to get kind of situated there at SIU, and then I had to really get moving on the Pinball Super Show the next year, which was year number three, and I needed some help. And I thought, wow, man, I'm at SIU, and I'm going to get some young people with strong backs, and they're going to help out, and they're going to, you know, so let's find out where the pinball kids are. Who's playing pinball here? And it wasn't her, honestly. I'll talk about her in a second. But it was nobody. I couldn't locate a group of people. So then it was time to start recruiting them. And how am I going to do that? So I go to the student center, and it was a 30-40-30 problem. So I have one machine that worked out of three. But then I started knocking on the doors and saying, man, can you fix these machines? Because if you can, I can get students in, I think, to play. And then if we can get them into play, then maybe we can get them to volunteer for some things. And then there was this girl that worked in our department that was really cool. And she was a student worker. And I asked her if she would be our model for the Super Show. And she put on a nice-looking tank top. And then I got recruits really quick from college students. So that was all part of the deal. In fact, this bike here on the right, the dude that owns that motorcycle, that's in the parking lot where I work, those two on the right. And the guy that owns that motorcycle said, hey, man, can I get a picture of that? That's my bike. Oh, yeah, sure. Thanks for letting her lay all over your bike. So I started to continue doing social things at my home, and I had some pinball or some SIU students that would come and join in. And where's Darren? He's a good-looking fellow right there. So there's an example of somebody that rose to the top. Darren, when was that? I'm not the picture, but when did you, 07. So Darren, I consider him as the first generation of pinball impact that I was able to make at SIU. And I don't mean that in any egotistical way, because if you know me, I'm very humble about this stuff. I hate egos, I really do. But I will tell you that because I want to inspire you to see what you can do, maybe in a similar way. Maybe not at a university, but wherever. But there's Darren, and he's quite the handsome fellow, and you can get autographs from him right up here next to Steve later. So the word is out in my department, ISAT, And it turns out that my boss, my department director, is a pinball nut, and he hadn't really got it. And he's like, wait a minute, you're doing a pinball show? Where's it at? Did you do that last year? You know, all these questions start coming up, and I'm thinking, please let me off, man, because I got to do a lot for this. And then he's like, well, so can I go? Yeah, for free, man. I got a ticket for you and everything. And he's like, no, I'll pay. I'll pay. I want to go and see it. So he came. And at our show, it was a player show. I mean, it's awesome to just play. I love this show because it's so much more than that. But this was a player show, and he just wanted to play. Most of these people just want to play, not buy, not sell. I mean, some of us want to sell, but play. And this guy got into it, and so it reconnected my boss with pinball. He was suddenly fired up with pinball. So there was, I don't want to say this because it's being recorded, Martin, so I'll be cautious here, that not anything I wanted to do related to pinball, but most things relevant to education and academic promotion was allowed suddenly. So guess what? I gave him a pinball machine. I gave him a Meteor. And I gave him the Stern Meteor to the electronics technology group, which means they know about electronics, which means now I can present about pinball and electronics, and I can walk them from the plug all the way through the power supply, through the boards in the back, through every kind of troubleshooting thing, and we can do this forevermore because it's heavy, and nobody's going to want to move it out of the building. Maybe. I hope not. In fact, they only want to move more in right now. I'm not kidding you. People make fun of me all the time. You get to play pinball at work. Well, no, I kind of. But, I mean, we're working on this game, and my job is to try to encourage people to play. I really want to do that. So, anyway, we had more students, more pinball parties. This is Theo on the left, Theo Phillips. He can't be here. He wants to. Aaron Gross, he's on the right. He can't be here. He wants to. Those people founded Saluki Pinball, and Darren was a part of that, too. And so we created a group, and we put pressures on the operators. Bad machines at the student center. Please fix this. Tournaments throughout the semester. When Joe Blackwell worked at Stern Pinball, it was so easy to just call up Joe because he just totally got this passion for promoting pinball, you know? And I always felt like Joe ought to be more of a marketing guy. But I would call him up, Joe, could you give us something because we're trying to do this and we want to give away some stuff. Boom, Translites in my mailbox, you know. It's not that easy anymore. Pressure operators and bad machines, good tournaments. Oh, Pinball Life, Terry Deswart is a fantastic fellow. And he gave us, like, if we have a lot of electronic students in Saluki Pinball, then it might be relevant then to give them a voltmeter if they win in a tournament. But it's funny, if you have an art and design student that's playing with you and they win a tournament and you give them a voltmeter, they don't know what to do. Would you like to trade that voltmeter for a Harley-Davidson Translite? Yes, please. I'll give you $5 more, too. And so we went to CP Pinball. Does anybody know what CP Pinball is? Yeah, it's a really cool place out in near St. Louis area. What's the name of it? New Holland? Yeah, it's around there. It's a little south. Roxana. South Roxana? Great place. Chuck Sanderson is a super guy. And so we went. We did a field trip. And our field trip was supposed to be an auction, a super auction, which sucked so bad that we couldn't stand it. And then Chuck opened the doors and said, man, just come play pinball for free at my place. And it wasn't quite free. I mean, we all felt suddenly guilty to give him money. But look at this. We have some of the people that I've identified over here on the left. And then down the bottom right, it's time to go, and there's two people still playing, and that's Aaron and Theo. We took two guys that were pinball enthusiasts. So I know they were just casual pinball players and had a slight interest in pinball, and then they just went nuts, just like all of us. They became one of us. They became our brothers in pinball nutness. And actually, Aaron here became an intern because my boss thought it would be a good idea to have a pinball intern. So I had a pinball intern. And it was great. Had a good time. Fixed a lot of stuff. So we're going to play the Aaron and Theo video. And this is after they've become completely nuts in pinball. And I just want to know what you think about this. And see if you can find yourself in this video. 4 minutes and change. And bear with me while I work on the volume for a second. But here we go.
Win anyway.
Not bad, though. You close the gap. It's neck and neck.
Come on.
Woo. I'll take the ball lock. Go, Merlin. Show me your magic.
First, it came out hard. But then he came from behind, started taking me up. The bridge went down. Boom. I was like, oh, he pulled ahead by 3 million points. Then I come on my third ball. And bam. Bam. Just like that. Hold on. He's got the... Yeah, he's got the troll. Is that it? Did you get it? Did you get it?
I got nothing.
You got close. You were close. So the winner will take 5 points, the second place will take 3, and the last person will take 1. You add up all those points across all 3 tables. Bang, the winner, second place, and the loser, Rob. Oh, you dirty fish. Stinky fish. Oh, dug it out. Take that, Rob. Oh, what was that? I'm not paying attention to the dot matrix, so somebody's got to tell me what's going on. What can I say? I'm amazing. Oh, and they got it on the ramp and didn't even have to. Look at that. Look at that. Come over here, Robin. Look at this. I'm just spanking it.
What are you doing?
Oh,
what
I just
hit that.
I jumped the ramp.
Where? You? Which ramp?
The middle one.
Where's the middle one?
I can't point. My hands is on the buttons.
Well, you want to talk about jumping ramps?
Look at that. Look, the light was on and I put it.
Do it again.
No.
Oh, you can't.
No, because I'm going to.
You can't do it.
I'm going to ball lock it. You are just a. You are a.
Ball lock it. I'm not going to lock the ball. I'm going to ball lock it.
You are a terrible person.
Oh, you know what? You could have got.
Look at
that. I'm not even going to talk to you about it.
Oh, you can try, but I'm not going to listen.
No, you're not going to listen.
See, I'm going to lock this and that. See that?
Okay,
see,
go.
See, I'm going to get. I'm going to get.
See you do it.
Oh, what is that? What is that? In your face. In your face.
My pick.
Kind of sounds like
how about we play junkyard? Pull it back and see where we're going. And I got junk. I got a weather vane, which is nice, I guess. And it goes off to the side. Ooh, I get some more junk. Oh, I got a bathtub. Yes, I got Satan's bathtub. Well, there's no extra ball. And that's it. But what do I got? I got a toaster, a weather vane, a bathtub, bike tires, and a bonus of $70,000. So time for a garage sale, I guess, next.
Score. Look at it. Look at that score.
Yes.
I did it on my second ball, and he still couldn't match me.
Nope.
Can't do it. Can't fade me.
No, I cannot.
What's been going on here lately?
Oh, no.
Did you see that little pass? You see that? Nice. That was a nice pass, wasn't it?
Sounds like somebody's getting a little too fancy. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, someone called the police.
Hey, it's,
Wait, what's going? Wait, hold on. Let's.
Hold on. 71-29.
What score is that? Say that again. What's the score?
It played out like a good soap opera.
Cinderella.
The very first gloater here, Aaron Gross, turns out old Aaron, he didn't get first place after all because...
But neither did Rob.
But old Steve-O came in, and once he figured out... I mean, hey, Steve, did you know the game? You don't know the game either,
no,
do you?
No.
Now, Aaron's been playing the game all day. As a matter of fact, I've seen him baby in this game.
I played one game on this sheet.
So, it turns out that the very first place score goes to Steve Rothschild, who got nearly a billion points.
Isn't that cool? I just want to clap for those guys. I also want to say that that Darren is far from just owning a pinball machine. He has a whole house full of pinball machines today. So that's pretty awesome. I'm going to clap for you too, Darren. He's the future of where we're going with all this stuff. Wouldn't you agree? It's pretty exciting. I got a couple more to share, and I'm not going to talk quite as much, and I'm going to leave a little bit of time for Chet. So why would I do it? Oh, man, the internship. I could talk about the internship for a long time, but I won't do that. It's fun. You guys see Aaron and how just nutty he is. It's hard to get any work done around him. And there's the updates on the guys. And, okay, so I did this other project called MiniPin. It's a virtual pinball machine. I did it several years ago, and I was able to do a lot of this development at SIU and use students. Now, these were students that I couldn't reach for mechanical action pinball, we'll say. For whatever reason, they wouldn't go upstairs and play the Meteor. So it wasn't just for them. I don't want to make it sound like, well, so I'm going to reach these people by doing it. No, I want to do it for me. This mini pin thing is awesome, and I loved it, and it's tiny, and it's a little 22-inch monitor and a little custom cabinet that I build, and it's just cute. The best part of it is, though, it's tiny, and I can keep it in my office at work. Not that I play it in my office at work all the time, but it's there in case I want to. But I travel around with it, and around the campus, and I can talk about pinball, and I can do it on the spin of custom interfacing and in mechanical engineering and electrical, or I can talk to it in information technology terms like IT stuff. We can talk about its operating system, and we can talk about how it's interfaced with this the little board. I mean, we talk about it on so many different levels, and it's small. I can take it everywhere, and we can expose people to pinball this way. And it's the Gen Wires, remember, that's been connected their whole life since they've been born. So it reaches those people. And honestly, it turns people from the virtual world to the physical world after a while, and I'll show you some of that in a minute. So Saluki Pinball went through a next generation of interest. Some electronic students came in after the three guys I showed you earlier were out. New students came in. They were interested in fixing up the Meteor. I was excited about that because it seemed like it was decaying a little bit, and I was getting busy, and I couldn't really go out and try to promote this stuff. And so they wanted to do some workshops. I was more than happy to do that. And I ended up having another pinball intern and all these workshops, and I started doing some recruitment here for more pinball stuff because the students, if they show me, if I get one, Aaron showed me this, and Darren showed me this, and Theo showed me this, if I can get one or two or three students, we can explode again with this whole Saluki pinball thing on campus. So to try to get more students than just the one, I invited a whole bunch of them that were potential candidates to play pinball. And so they came down, and they played real pinball, and they had a blast. By the way, all these kids right here that you see are video game designer club members. They're interested. I advise a club on video game design and in industry. So I'm a pretty busy guy over there, but I'm really trying hard to turn him on to pinball. So here's this next bit, and this is the students in the lab where the Meteor is, and they're gonna talk a little bit about, and these are younger students, and they're learning a lot about pinball. So check this out.
Yeah, that's probably from old lamps. Old lamps get really, really hot. Once they get silvered, they get super hot. Bridge rectifiers, so four diodes in a little package, but they're tiny. They're not able to, and they're the originals, and they're still there. But over here, we have this big mama. Color is so important. Colorblind people struggle heavily to work on pinball. But you know what's even worse? It's this company called Gottlieb who decided that we're going to make all of our wires white. And we will change the color of the traces of them to be different colors. Computer's not controlling the coil for the flippers. You control it. It's almost like a little song.
It is.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of
cool.
Neat?
Cool.
This one. So we know.
Left kick.
Oh, that's
back.
My favorite one.
The knock.
Knocker. Reset. Another reset.
These people repair it. I know. Let's show them what. Tell them what they're doing. Finger
wrong.
Well,
wheel. So it's on a bad score, but not.
Well, I was introduced to pinball when I was very young. We had a couple of pizza places around our hometown that would have old-style arcade games. I would go and, put a couple quarters in. They weren't pinball games that were in the best condition, but, I enjoyed playing them. I always had some fascination with just that little chrome ball moving around the playfield. And I wasn't, really in, it was a long time before I actually got, into playing pinball again. When I came here, I found that we had this Meteor game, and I was really, stoked about that. Meteor does have a personality. Some days it'll like you, some days it won't. I can't distinguish if it's a he or a she quite yet. I'm pretty good about doing that with some things. But it'll be very bratty, like it's kind of doing, so far today to people. One of my favorite things about that game is the spinner shot, where you hit with the left bottom flipper, and it just spins constantly. That's one of my favorite shots of that game. The bank of three drop targets for one and two, when somebody goes in one shot, they'll just go and hit all three of them down at once. I always enjoy seeing that. Well, I did an internship with Rob Craig over the summer of 2011. It was basically getting introduced to the actual mechanics and the hardware of the game. I noticed that the artists who developed some of the artwork would actually put in hidden symbols. Like I know on Pharaoh, there were certain images like a gorilla man, or like there would be this random like shoe, like a Converse. I was like, because Pharaoh has an Egyptian theme, they would use a Converse shoe as one of the hieroglyphics. And I just thought that was kind of funny because, you know, it's just one of those things. If you're just playing the game, you really don't notice little details like that. The Bride of Pinbot, I know that there are some suggestive images in that for sure, like how her mouth and everything are, you know, made, or the little spaceship where the ball ejects that's between her legs. And you can obviously think that some of the artists were thinking of something else at the time or just wanted to be funny. I'm not really sure. I'm not them. But the artwork really adds life to a game. I mean, when you really go down to the bare bones of it, it's just a piece of wood with a bunch of lights and coils and everything. I think that it's a mixture of both getting more public notice out about it. I mean, we've done with Saluki Pinball, we've actually gone out and said, hey, we're having this meeting. It's kind of just, you know, come play pinball, hang out, maybe eat some food, talk to people, meet new people, and just enjoy yourself. I also think that there are a lot of people that aren't aware of just the experience of it. Actually, people will play virtual pinball, but it's so much different. Actually pulling the plunger with your own hand, flipping the flippers with your fingers, and actually, you know, getting angry at the game when it you know, makes you lose the ball. I know I played virtual pinball on my computer because I didn't have access to an actual pinball machine.
Saluki Pinball is a social event that involves pinball because we have our own pinball machine, and it's a fun thing to do. We're normally up here playing many hours after classes, so why not bring other people into it? I don't see why more people don't do it. It's a good way to relax, and you go and you, there's nothing to lose. Yeah. My family actually had a pinball machine like 14 years ago. It was Paragon. I probably will own pinball machines eventually, if I ever make enough to actually buy a pinball machine. Since I'm poor and don't like spending money, Future Pinball is the way to go, since it's a free program and you can make whatever you want. I can actually... There's this group of pop bumpers. I like the aspect of multi-tiered games, so I threw that in there. In the middle of the pop bumpers, there's actually a hole that has a destroy ball that kicks you up to this top play field, which I'm hoping to eventually have Bowser, which you'll be able to get lots of points off of. I think the only real way pinball will come back is if people are more social. Pinball is a very social thing, and with all the consoles and stuff, it brings a very antisocial aspect to gaming, and it's become more of the norm nowadays. Press it again for me. No one's listening. They don't care about me.
I came here when I saw the ESG Club open the pinball machine up, and Rob was showing everybody how to fix it and all that. Next semester, when I met those two over there, we constantly played it, like up to like 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night, we played up to. And we did homework first, and then we just played constantly. We'd be here at school at like 9 o'clock, go back for lunch for an hour, and then come back here for school after homework, play pinball. I like how it actually shakes and ball actually goes up the screen and hits the screen and...
The glass.
Glass, yeah. I wouldn't mind buying a pinball machine when I grow up and get my own house and just play it and all that, or maybe try to fix it up, maybe. But anything else like that... I know all my friends don't do this, so... Well, my goal is to try to get more people into playing pinball, I say. I think right now it's really dead, and nobody plays because, oh, it's an old game, but if you look at it, it's kind of cool. It's just old-fashioned.
This game has been a brat today.
Good game?
I've got 129,360. That's the best game I've had so far.
There's a million things you can get out of that video. You might be sitting there going, well, you know, I actually think it's this or that or whatever she's talking. But understand that this is, these are people that have, I've influenced them somewhat, no doubt about it. But I'm trying not to steer them. I want them to draw their own conclusions, because I'll tell you what, with this group of people, you don't want to try to control these people in the way that they think. They want to be free. They have made up their own mind already, and they respect you a lot more if you respect them and just let them do what they're going to do. And so every one of these conclusions, that they, except for when Mark's like, I like it when it like pops and hits the screen. And I'm thinking, I'm listening to him going, what the heck are you Oh, the glass, the play-filled glass. He was calling it a screen, like an LCD screen. It's just funny. It's fantastic, and it's really neat, and there's a lot that we can learn. I can learn a lot from these guys. It's not just me showing them stuff. Okay, I'm going to tell you real quick because we're running out of time. I became a student, and I went after a master's degree. And I went into it in professional media management studies. That enabled me to go after the video game industry because it's considered a piece of a part of media. Thank goodness. Does anybody know who Vince Pontarelli is? Raise your hand if you know. The diehards do, right? They're modern games. Vince Pontarelli is a sound designer. He was with Williams WMS for a while. And he's at THQ right now in California. And he did Judge Dredd, one of my favorite audio games. He did some work on Judge Dredd. He did Congo, which was one of Steve's favorite games. He did and Wolfie's, one of Wolfie's favorite games. anyway, I got an opportunity to record Vince and put a big interview together in an academic paper all about audio designed for pinball and video games, which is really cool. I would have never had that opportunity had I not gone through this program. And then I did a video, a stop-motion animation for Alvin G's Punchy the Clown. Has anybody seen that? You care if I show it for everybody real quick? It's a pretty neat video, and I got to say I'm really proud of it. The reason why I did pinball is because I love pinball. That was my subject matter. But I had to do it really creatively. I'm not a professional stop-motion animator. I wanted to blow their freaking brains and show them that this 40-year-old could kick their butts in stop-motion animation for some of these younger guys. And I think it did. There were some people that did some other good stuff, but there was like three of us in a big class that did independent projects and rose to the top. And actually, I submitted this to a couple of different, by the urging of the professor, submitted them to a couple of shows, film festivals for animation. I didn't win anything, so I gave up, quit.
I'm going to get mad here in a minute.
Hi, kid. I'm Punchy the Clown.
You should have seen these kids whenever I did show this video to them. I don't want to call them kids, so I apologize for that, but these students, and many of them older because they're graduate students, in this room, and they saw this video, and they just went, what the frick is that? It's a machine and stuff falling apart, and they got it. It was pinball, but there were a lot of them exposed. These were more artistic students, and they're not mechanically inclined to do a electronics thing, but they were artistically, that gave me some confidence that I could do something different and keep going and sort of got people knew that I was into pinball. So that's an important point. And I get time's not on my side, so I'm going to try to hurry. I had some of these grad students in my game room. I started bringing them over to play with pinball with me. And Steve always helped me. I got to give Steve some kudos because he helped me throughout all this. I cooked for him. He cooked for him. We cooked for him. We got their stuck balls unstuck and explained what to do. And this picture in the bottom right is awesome because there's a girl from China on the left, Chindu. The girl on the far right is from Ukraine. The guy in the back is from India. They're not staying here. They all went home. They were exposed to pinball in Southern Illinois. And the left shot, first guy that's in blue worked with Prince and Michael Jackson. He was the guy that taught me about professional recording. Right next to him is Dr. Paul Torrey. He's the one that chaired my committee for SIU Campus Life Pinball. They got it. They got pinball because they interfaced. They got in my basement. They played it. We talked. They connected with it in some way. They're probably not going to go to a warehouse and try to buy them all, but they're going to play pinball, and they're going to appreciate it. So I had a master's thesis project, video games as marketing tools, and it was an absolute blast. And a big reason why I couldn't come to Expo last year, I couldn't do anything. I just had to focus, right? And I just had, you could read really quickly some of the people that I had involved in the project. The cheerleaders are up there because I had the absolute best cheerleading recording session. I was the envy of 95% of the heterosexual males on SIU's campus when I went out and recorded these girls, and they would say anything I told them to. It was cool. Now, let me tell you how hard it is to convince their coach and the girls what this is about. I need you to spell out Saluki. I need you to say, jackpot. I couldn't even tell them that. I had to explain what pinball was and why there's a jackpot. You guys got it? Has anybody played pinball? Two hands go up. Pokemon pinball was one and something else. It was funny. But I influenced those girls and explained to them what pinball was, and I sent them pictures of the game, their coach, and I sent the sound samples to them so they could hear. Then they were excited, and they wanted to hear themselves in the game later, right? Quickly, I did a beta test group. More people. I specifically went after people who didn't play pinball but played video games. Not 100%, but a strong percentage of the beta test group, right? Because this is a video game. It just so happens to be pinball. And so I'm going to show you this last thing, and we're just going to end the presentation there. I want to show you 1 2.5-minute clip from that. Has anybody played Campus Life pinball? And all right, cool, thank you. Do you like it? Zarno beats me up about it. He says it sucks. Worst one you ever played. It's not a real pinball, but it's as close as I can get. In the upper right-hand corner is the key toy to the game, and it's what we want everybody to try to do. Get up in the upper right-hand corner and try to get balls up there for multi-ball, and if you can't do it, we're going to help you do it on the third ball. Theo Phillips helped code this, so that on the third ball, if you haven't got multi-ball yet, all you got to do is bump a target on the right, and it'll start multi-ball for you, so everybody can experience that exciting part of the game. That was an awesome project. I was so excited to see that get done and graduate, but to basically for people to take it seriously on campus. I don't know. I want to say it was like 5,000 flyers, and that box is two-thirds empty. We posted flyers all over the campus. The campus news got involved in it. I did a couple of journalistic things where I was interviewed, and then I did something for the radio, WSIU. And it still lives on because when we do open houses, we hand out some of these flyers, and some of these students ask, how do we get it to run, and can you help me with a 3D? And I got a website to support all that, but that's it. I'm out of time. So that's what I've been doing the last couple of years. Thanks for hanging with me.